Amen.
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 But we do need to continue with our secret mission.
Okay.
I think we're going to need to look at our Bibles, everybody. Can you find a Bible near you where you're sitting? They're red. And you're going to need to find page 1077. Look at that. That's clever. It's actually going to be on the screens as well. But it's very important as secret agents that you don't just take our word for it. You've got to look at the facts. Remember? We're searching for clues. So we're on page 1077. And we're going to be reading John chapter 11, verses 1 to 7 to start. Shall I read it, Andy?
I think you should, Dr. G.
Here we go, everyone. Are you ready? Listening up. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." That's a bit odd, isn't it? Did you all hear that? Were you following along? It said there in verse 5, Andy, that Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So they're obviously close friends. If you love somebody, they probably went on holiday together or to the beach or ate together and played tag, all the fun things you do. And yet, well, I don't understand it. He loved them, and yet did you hear it? He stayed where he was. Did you see that in verse, I think it was verse 4.
Well, it's verse 6. Look
verse
at
6,
it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely, it is odd, isn't it? So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus delayed. Now, Mary and Martha, they got words to Jesus in verse 3 because they know their brother is sick and they think, "We know the man who can help our brother. We know the only man who can help our brother. It must be Jesus." And because Jesus healed so many people of different sicknesses. And so they said, "We need to get Jesus." Because for Jesus to heal someone who is sick, it's as easy for him to do that as for me or you to fall out of bed.
Yes, or blow up my laboratory, or eat a bag of sweets, or Bill and Ted eat giant cookies.
That's right. We find those so easy. So for Jesus to heal someone who is sick, that it's as easy as that for him. And so, of course, they want Jesus to arrive before it's too late. See, when someone dies, it's too late.
Yes.
You might want to help them, but you just can't. It's too late.
So that's why they send for Jesus to come quickly, and they ask him to come.
That's absolutely right. And you would think Jesus is their friend. And so if he's their friend, he would drop everything to get there as quickly as possible. And yet, what does he do, verse 6? He delays a whole 2 days. Now, why does he do that? Well, as you see it at the end of verse 4, just have a look. He says, "It is for God's glory, so that God's Son," that's Jesus, "may be glorified through it."
Ah, so that means that Jesus is going to stop and wait because he wants to show us something even more wonderful about who he is.
That's right. He delays because he wants us to know just how powerful he is.
Right.
And before we go and find out what happens next, we're going to sing another song. And this song dwells on the fact that God is the powerful, saving God. Salvation belongs to our God. So let's stand as the music starts, and let's sing this together.
Uh, take a seat, everybody, and you'll need to pick up your Bibles again. Andy, I can't believe it. I've read on a little bit further in our story. Jesus delays, but then it gets really, really, really bad.
What happens, Dr. G?
Well, it sounds like Lazarus dies.
What do you mean it sounds like Lazarus dies? Well, just have a look. Actually, I can see what you mean. Have a look at chapter 11, verse 11. Have a look at it. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up. And his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus seems to say that Lazarus has fallen asleep. And of course, it's really easy to wake someone from the sleep.
Oh, yes, very easy. My mummy just used to burst into the room and throw open the curtain and say, rise and shine, Dr. G. I was a doctor at a very young age. Genius.
But look at this. Actually, it's gotten worse than that.
Mm.
Look what John the storyteller says. Look at little number 13. Jesus had been speaking of Lazarus's death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead.
Oh.
Wow. It's gotten really bad. Lazarus is dead.
Yes, that's terrible. I mean, everybody knows death is the end, isn't it? When something dies, that's it. Story over. There's no coming back from death. No one could bring him back.
And that's why it's so sad. It looks like Jesus has let everyone down.
Oh.
But look at what happens next. Verse 17, look at it. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days.
Oh.
Jesus has really, really blown it. He's not just let Lazarus die, he's also been really, really, really late.
Very, very, very late. Lazarus in the tomb for 4 whole days. Oh, no, Jesus.
Oh, and it's just so sad. Look what happens next. Look at little number 20. One of Lazarus's sisters heard that Jesus was coming, Martha, and she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she's right.
Hmm.
Jesus is so late. He's too late. And it's not just Martha. Have a look at what Mary says. Verse 32, little number 32, further down. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had not been here, my brother would not have died. Why did Jesus not turn up on time? You know, all this mess, all this heartache would have been dealt with if Jesus had just came on time.
Hmm. It's such a shame. And death is really, well, it's the enemy, isn't it, Andy? Hmm. None of us can defeat it. We're all going to face it. And it just makes such a mess of everything.
But no. Look at this. Look how Jesus responds. This is really surprising as well. Have a look at little number 33.
Five.
Number 33.
Yes.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Now, Dr. G, this response is amazing. You see, him being deeply moved in his spirit. It's the language, if you can imagine a horse, a really angry horse, snorting. Can you imagine a horse being angry and snorting? That's it. Yeah, well, don't snot, not snotting,
I've got
Dr.
my
G.
Tissue, so it's just over here.
I'm sorry, just go and get your tissues, Dr. G.
Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
Snorting.
Right.
Jesus looks at death and he snorts.
Wow, it's quite a strange response, isn't it?
Well, it is. But this is the amazing thing. Jesus made the world. He made you and me. He made it perfect. But because we all rejected God, death has entered the world. And here we have Jesus, the Creator, face to face with death. And he snorts because he's so angry. He's angry because this is not the way it's meant to be. This is not the way he made it. And it's like this because we've all rejected God. But look what happens next. He's not just angry. Have a look at little verse number 34. He says this, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And so he goes to the tomb, and here is the shortest verse in the Bible. Verse 35, Jesus wept.
Well, Jesus actually cried.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Yes.
The creator of the universe, he's not just angry at death, but it breaks his heart.
That's really quite something, isn't it, when you think about it? The Son of God who came down to earth to take our pain knows how that feels, knows what it's like to suffer, and cries and weeps. He actually knows what it's like to be one of us. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And as we turn to trust in Jesus, we trust in one who has walked in our shoes. Now, I don't know if you've ever found this in school, where you've thought, the head teacher, they make up all these rules, but they don't know what it's like to be us in the playground.
Yeah, very old.
Or maybe your boss at work, and they go, oh, they make up these ridiculous rules, but they don't know what it's like to make these widgets. Mm. Oh, it's so hard work. Or you look at the TV and you see the celebrity with their fast car and all their money and flying around in a private jet. And you think, but they don't know what it's like to be me. See, we see that all the time. And yet we can't say that with God, because God, the creator of everything and everyone, knows what it's like to be one of us, because he became one of us. And he knows the horrible nature of death. He knows exactly what it's like. And it makes him angry. And it breaks his heart.
So he feels our pain, doesn't he? He knows what that's like.
It's amazing.
It is.
And we're going to sing a song that focuses on that next. Now, this is not a song we sung in Holiday Club.
Oh.
But it talks about Jesus being strong, and he is. But he's also kind. He knows what it's like to be one of us. So let's stand. And Susie's going to come up. And if you want to follow her actions, you can. And we're going to sing Jesus Strong and Kind.
Have a seat, everybody. Well done. Andy, there's something I want to just ask you, though, which is, I mean, it's great what we've been seeing so far. Oh, you'll need your Bibles again, everybody. We're going to go back into that. But... well, I thought Jesus was going to show us how powerful he is. I mean, it's great that he understands our pain and he gets upset and he knows how messed up the world is, but I did think he was going to show us more.
Well, read on. You see, there's not just delay and there's not just distress, but there's also a dramatic moment. Oh. Have a look at little number 38. Look what happens next. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. I wonder where we might see that again.
Huh.
"Take away the stone," he said.
Oh.
"But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days.
Oh, I can't believe they're going to open up the tomb. Surely not. I mean, when someone has been buried... it's not very nice to talk about it, but it would have smelt really, really, really bad. I mean, the worst smell you can imagine, worse than anything I could ever create in my laboratory, and that's really saying something.
Well, do you know what, Dr. G? Actually, in the King James Version, it translates this verse and says, "He stinketh. Don't open the tomb because he stinketh."
Oh, well, it sounds awful. Why on earth are they opening the tomb then?
Well, let's read on. Have a look at little number 40. "Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he said this,"
yes,
"Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!'"
Yes, and what happened then?
Well, have a look at number 44. Right. Then the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Wowee! Gee, Lazarus was dead and now he's alive. He's alive, Andy. That's incredible.
Just imagine, Dr. G, what would you have seen?
Well, the stone gets moved. Jesus calls Lazarus, come out. And then out comes this dead man, presumably wrapped in all the grave clothes. So actually, he wasn't walking. He'd probably have had to sort of pogo out of the tomb a bit like this. Must have looked extraordinary. How incredible to be there.
Absolutely amazing. But do you remember, Dr. G, Jesus said that he delayed for a very good reason.
Yes.
This must have been the reason. He wanted to show people that actually he is the one who can fix one of our greatest enemies. The one who can fix the problem of death. He is so powerful, as one person once said, if he had not used Lazarus' name specifically, then all the dead people would have come out of the tomb. Huh. You see, only God can do what Jesus did. Which shows us that Jesus is the one who is God come to rescue us from death.
Yes, not just sickness, but death. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, what? That's brilliant for Lazarus, because now he's back alive with his sisters, Mary and Martha, and presumably they just went off and had food together and they could do all their fun things. They were a family, reunited. Yes, but how does that actually work out for us? Is that good news for us?
Well, look at what is said in Numbers 25 and 26. Just look back in the Bible.
25 and 26.
Have a look at little Numbers 25 and 26.
Okay.
Jesus says something to Martha earlier. He says this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? See, he wants us to know that Jesus is the source of all life. He is the one who can deal with our sin. And as he dies on the cross, he can deal with the death we all deserve. So one day, well, it's like him calling Lazarus. He will call us, if we trust him, to be raised to be with him forever. Notice he says, it doesn't say that we won't die, but it says that one day we will all be raised if we trust him.
Wow, it's a lot to take in, isn't it? But how can we know? How can we be sure?
Well, he's proven it. Imagine if I said to you, Dr. G,
yes,
that I can run 100 meters in 9.5 seconds.
9.5. Well, I have to say, prove it.
And we'd go down to the racetrack and find I couldn't run it in 1 minute.
Yes.
Or imagine I said to you, Dr. G, I can eat 50 donuts in 30 seconds. What would you do?
Well, I'd probably say don't do that, but I would say prove it.
And we'd go to Krispy Kreme Hut and I would end up vomiting.
Yes.
Because I could not do that. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he proves to us he can do it.
Yes, he does.
He raises Lazarus from the dead, but then also he himself is raised from the dead, never to die again.
Yes.
He shows us he is the one who can beat it. And he promises that'll be the same for all who trust him.
Okay, so trusting him. So what should we do?
Well, do you notice what is his question to Martha in verse 26? He says this. Do you believe this? And she says, verse 27, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who came into the world. You see, Jesus says, what do we need to do in response? We need to believe in him.
Ah.
We need to trust that he has come from God and he can rescue us. And he is who he says he is, the Son of God. Now, maybe this week you've had a fantastic week at Holiday Club and you think, I want to know more.
Yes.
Well, we have groups in the middle of the week on Wednesday nights where the kids have loads of fun. They learn more about Jesus. Maybe you want to come back on a Sunday to the Sunday services. We have kids groups in the services as well.
Yes.
But actually, Jesus says, you know, come and learn more about me. But actually, the best thing you could ever do is trust me.
Right.
But not only that, there'll be people here who are saying, I trust Jesus. What are we to do? Well, do you notice he says to Martha, not did you believe this once, not have you believed this, but in the middle of this crisis, do you still believe that I am the resurrection and the life? You see, it can be really hard, can't it, when hard times come and you think, Jesus, you are delaying, where are you, to think, well, you really don't care and you really aren't bothered. But Jesus here says, no, you can trust my timing and you can trust that I really do care, and one day I will put all the wrong right and I will raise all who trust in me. And so that is the most wonderful thing we can do. Shall I pray for us, Dr. G?
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you so much that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Thank you that he knows what it's like to be one of us. Death angers him and death upsets him. And yet thank you that he is the one who can rescue us from this enemy. We pray that you'll help us to know and learn who he is and trust him, the King and the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.